Mine is Last Christmas by Tay-Tay. Love-hate relationship with that song. Not the George Michael version, but only the Tay-Tay version. You have a song in your head about reality all of the time. And this idea of God smiling on you is contrary to it. Think about what we said earlier. Oftentimes, we are filled with comparisons with other people. You don't look like her. Really, is he going to like me if I don't look like her? I don't even look like me from 10 years ago. Or you feel an abiding sense of inadequacy. Just don't feel up for the task of my life. Not up for it. Work, family, community, neighborhood. I'm dying here. I'm getting squished. Well, the pathway to peace is to orient your thoughts, your meditations on the approval of God of you. You have to change the tune that you sing to yourself. And the way that you do that is to remember that like a soft fleece in the cold, God's favor wraps around you. He's pleased to call you his own. He really is. If you're a follower of Christ, he's pleased with you. That's a pathway to peace. Turn towards God's sweet smile. I have a third one here. Comes out of verse 28. Again, same verse. Just simply trust that your God is near. Read verse 28 again with me. And he came to her, this angel Gabriel, and he says, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Could have said anything else at that moment. And he chose to say, "The Lord is with you." Gabriel assures Mary that God is near. I love how Pastor Sean stressed that in the welcome. I don't know if you heard it, but it encouraged me. God is here in a special way, and God is with you in a special way throughout the week. Gabriel's words echo the great Old Testament covenant blessing from Exodus 33:14, where God told his people in the Exodus, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." On one of our mission trips, we stopped off in Austria, and we went to a famous place called the Praetorturm. Praetorturm is advertised as the largest chair carousel in the world. Chair carousel is just one of those rides you might see at Disneyland that goes straight up, and it has chains, and the people go around it in seats. So this was supposedly 384 feet, the largest in the world. So you bet our mission team is going to hop on that thing. I didn't hop on it, but everybody else did. And I'm watching, and as I walked up to it, I noticed the seats connected to the chains were not seats of four. They were not seats of one. They were seats of two. And as I watched people get on there, people wanted to ride with someone else. And when they got on the ride, it did not get any shorter. Still went up as high, still went as fast, but just having somebody near you gave you peace. People in my neighborhood know that if they want to get the best Halloween candy, they're going to go to Julie Williams' house, because she goes all out to love the neighborhood by giving the best candy. But they also know to get the candy, you're going to have to walk through a bunch of college and high school kids who are trying to scare you. Not in an overtop way, but the kids have fun with it. So this year, at Halloween, I'm at the end of my driveway, and up comes this kid I've known for a while. He's one of Asa's friends. His name is MJ. He's in the neighborhood all the time. And I'm like, "MJ, you're going to do it this year. You're going to make it." He said, "Man, it was so scary last year." And he looks over, and in my yard, my daughter Anna is dressed up like a middle-aged woman might, and she's pushing an empty swing, and she has balloons that she's holding that are no longer full of helium. And she never breaks character. And it is the creepiest thing you've seen. And MJ looks at me and he says, "I'm not doing it." And I said, "MJ, what if I just walk beside you?" And he's like, and I walked with him. It was no less scary. They had their mask on. They were being all creepy. But he made it through. Because he had presence. And that's where your peace is going to come from this year. It's the presence of God with you. Again, this is like a salmon that's going to run upstream against your normal emotions. But it's true. God is with you. Don't feel like he's with you, but he's with you. Don't often sense it. He's with you. Our circumstances are awful. He's with you. Joni Erickson Tada knows something about hard circumstances, and she said this. She says, "Real peace isn't found in a life without trouble, but in a God who never leaves your side." I'm going to try to put up an equation here, a very simple equation on the board. And the equation is this. Peace does not equal the absence of trouble. Peace equals the presence of God. You could say it another way. Peace does not equal having no problems. Instead, peace equals God being near. One more, in case you're not getting it. Peace does not equal quiet all around us. Peace equals God dwelling within us. As we ponder the coming of Christ this year, I know you got a lot of battles. Many of you, especially this time of year, battle with loneliness. But know this, God has come near. His presence means he's always with you, loving you. He'll never leave you. He whispers courage when your soul feels doubt. Like a shadow connected to your footsteps, he will not leave. His hand upholds you as it held Mary in the midst of her wonder and the midst of her fear. God is near to you. He has come near in Jesus Christ. He's close. Trust that your God is near. Have another pathway of peace here. This one comes from verses 31 through 33 in the story. Simply this, marvel at your God's mission. Marvel at your God's mission. Read verse 31, 32. Behold, angel's talking now. He's on a roll. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. This is the big baby bomb announcement. A little different back then. Baby announcements were different. This one's from an angel. You'll conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you should call his name Jesus. He'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. This newborn baby will not be named Joseph Jr. That's what everybody was expecting, their firstborn to be named that. No, his name is Jesus. Matthew 1:21 that we read earlier tells us why this name is picked, Jesus. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Yahweh is salvation. God saves. Look in verse 32. The angel says, Jesus will be great. And you might be thinking, yeah, of course he will. That's an understatement. But he's speaking in reference to the Old Testament. In all of the Old Testament scriptures, when the word great is used by itself, it refers to only one. It refers to God himself. Jesus is God coming and being born. He's the Son of God, and he's on a mission to save. The Apostle Paul was comfortable talking about this mission in terms of peace. Remember where he writes Ephesians 2. He frames salvation as a peacemaking mission. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you once who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's the heart of the Hope for All Nations offering. We want those who are far off, and I don't mean geographically far off. I mean people groups who have never had exposure to the gospel. We want them brought near to Jesus Christ. 14 says, for he himself is our peace. Couldn't be more clear than that. He himself is our peace. Back in Luke, there's more we can see about peace. We keep reading. Verse 32, angel keeps talking on and on. Had to be overwhelming for Mary. Angel says, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Reign, David, kingdom. He's talking regal, royal language here. Later in Luke 17, Jesus will be talking about the kingdom. And Jesus says it like this. It was a surprise, but Luke 17, Jesus said, verse 20, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Remember that as you have financial problems. Remember that as your relative chooses not to speak to you. The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Nor will they say, look, here it is, or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Jesus is the promised king. We talked about this as we studied the book of Matthew last year. He's the one that God said would rule forever. His kingdom's not just about power or politics. It's about bringing true peace, hope, salvation. Later still in the book of Luke in chapter 19, we're given this great picture, and it's of Jesus entering into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. If you could just imagine him on his way there, and then maybe he crests the hill and he can see the city for the first time, and he sees the people everywhere, and we're told what he does in verse 41. These people that he knew would largely reject him. And when he drew near, the scripture says, he saw the city. What did he do? He wept. He wept over it. What did he say? He said, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. Translation, there's a way forward in which God makes peace between himself and humanity. And it is through Jesus himself. Again, this has everything to do with our Hope for All Nations offering. Peace can only come through the king who ends the war between God and humanity. Here's a quote. John Piper said this. The king has come to his rebel subjects and offered peace terms while the time lasts. The terms of peace are simple. Lay down your arms, especially the weapons of self-righteousness and self-sufficiency. Admit your defeat, accept your full and free pardon, total amnesty, and swear your allegiance to the new king in your life. There's nothing more satisfying in all the world than to be believing subject of a king like Jesus. If you're here today as a non-Christian, if you're just checking things out, if you're a seeker, we're so glad you're here. This is your invitation. Come and turn towards this King who can make peace between man and God, who can take those who rebelled against the Creator and deserve judgment and take their wrath upon his own self and his death. You can turn to Jesus. If you're here as a Christian, I just want to say a couple of things. First, we are asking you today to ponder world missions with this sentence in your hand. There is nothing more satisfying in all the world than to be the believing subject of a King like Jesus. If Christ is your treasure, you will want the whole world to treasure him also. Let your heart affections for Jesus fuel your participation for missions and in missions at TCC. What can I do? Well, you can pray. How much, God, do you want me to give to this offering? Notice I'm not telling you how much that is. God knows. It can also go with us next summer in July. We're going on a short-term trip. You can talk to me. Maybe God's calling you to go long-term. Maybe he's waking you up to a whole world of surprises. Maybe God wants you to put others on planes and then you hit your knees praying that God would open hearts as his mission goes forward. I don't know, but you have a chance to participate in preaching Christ to others. Secondly, even as I say this, know that I know life is messy, it's complicated. Many people this time of year struggle inner junk, depression. You may feel nothing right now, but the war is already over in Christ. His peace can awaken your heart. Even when life feels dull, God feels distant, you can still look to Jesus. Because the King who restores the bond between you and God can offer you substantial peace. When everything feels gray, Jesus bridges the gap between you and God. He is bringing color and he is bringing calm back into your soul. Even in your quiet disengagement, the Savior offers rest. Even to a heart that's grown indifferent, take hope. He can still give you peace. Life feels flat sometimes. Life feels empty often. Remember, the battle has been won. Peace is waiting for you in Christ. He himself is peace, and he's inviting you in. Marvel at your God's mission of peace. Let's look at another pathway to peace here. Verse 34, 35. Believe your God restores. Believe your God restores. Some of the language as the angel is talking to Mary is now language. The birth of this boy Jesus seems imminent. And yet, remember who she is and where she's at in her betrothal. So verse 34 has an important question. Mary said to the angel, how will this birth be since I'm a virgin? She's going to have a baby soon. She's never been with a man. It's a fair question to ask. How's this going to be? Verse 35 is the angel's answer. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. How can a virgin have a baby? The answer given here is that the Spirit will overshadow her. That's a funny way of saying it. What's he getting at? Well, he's using a concept again from the Old Testament. There's three types of passages where we see this Spirit overshadowing, overmoving language. See it in the Psalms, Psalm 91. when God is present to protect his people, he's overshadowing them. Exodus, when the cloud of God's glory comes to Moses and it rests in the tabernacle, that's God overshadowing with his presence. Exodus 40, other passages. And then if you go all the way back to Genesis 1, you see the Spirit over hovering. What's he doing? He's creating. I think we're meant to catch that here. Creation awakens in a special way. Now back in Luke, we hear that the Spirit is overshadowing Mary. I think we're supposed to see him there in a protective, new creation type of way. To be clear, I'm not saying the Spirit is creating the Son. That's not what I'm saying. But I do think that he is bringing in the dawn beams of new creation that will later flourish in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God's only begotten Son, Jesus, is being born. And I think we're supposed to step back and find a principle here in the virgin birth. Here it is. God brings peace by creating something out of nothing. Think about a virgin giving birth. God brings peace by creating something out of nothing, like new hearts and new life. Singer-songwriter Graham Jones will be here this week at TCC for a Christmassy concert. It's not in this building, but in the chapel. Hope you can come out. And in one of his songs, he envisions Jesus talking to another Mary, not Mary his mom, but Mary his friend from Bethany. And he's talking to Mary of Bethany right after her brother Lazarus had died. She was crushed. Listen to how Graham Jones imagines this conversation. He says, "Mary," is the lyrics to his song, "let me cry right here with you, but don't forget who I am. For whoever believes in me, though he should die, I will let him live again. Because sometimes troubles come so you might see how God is glorified when you believe in me. Let the darkness fall. Know I'm stronger still. Though his heartbeat stop, see how I will. I will take him who dies under the dirt and let him walk out in the sun. I am the life and the resurrection." Resurrection creates life from death. Light from darkness, bloom from decay, peace from chaos. And I just wonder today, is the Spirit of God now awakening your heart to find peace in the Son? Is the Spirit of God awakening your heart, even drawing you to the Son to find peace? Many of us are anxious about the uncertainties of a coming year, but you can know this. The one who calls the dead to rise also calls your anxious heart. Come and rest in the days to come. The life himself walks with you into every uncertainty. And when he walks, peace blossoms. Walk with Jesus. Believe today that your God restores. It's another pathway in verse 36. Mary's heart, bless it. She was not looking for a sign, but Gabriel offers assurance nonetheless. It's so kind of God. She's just perplexed. How in the world is this going to happen? And he assures her. He says, "Behold, remember your relative Elizabeth." Talked about her last week, if you were here. In her old age, she's also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Here's your sign. Look at Elizabeth. The barren one is now blooming with child. A new creation within dear old Elizabeth. That's what God can do. His power is boundless. There's a pathway to peace. Rest in God's power. Peace grows when God's good sovereignty is recognized. He is omnipotent. What's that mean? It means he's the God of no impossibilities. Wherever you're hopeless, don't believe it. Peace flourishes when the heart rests in all God's powerful ability to keep you. To keep you. God promised a baby to Elizabeth. The angel says, look, she's in her 6th month now. It's happening. You can trust it. To you, he is going to deliver himself. She got a baby. You today get much more. You get Christ himself. And this is important. Notice in this verse, he seems like he's really hard on Elizabeth. He says she's old, she's barren. I think he's speaking that way to highlight one thing that's so helpful. She's weak. God's power will work through her weakness. That's what Gabriel wanted Mary to know. Why? Because that would bring her peace. Trust that God's power can work through your weakness. That's what he wants you to know today. His power works through your weakness. Jesus' own story exemplifies this, right? Where was he born? It's a messy place. What family was he born into? From what all we know, it was a poor family. What happened after that? He's a refugee in Egypt. What about his adulthood? Bible says he had no place to lay his head. Had no place to call home. He was arrested in weakness. He was crucified in weakness. Simon carried his cross for him. Yet even still, God accomplished all of his purposes through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 13:3 says this. He's not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For he was crucified in weakness, but he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God. So think a moment about your own weaknesses, if you dare. Maybe consider the stress of your life. Now, one definition of stress is the inner strain you feel when the demands on your mind and body and emotions exceed your own sense of capacity, right? You stress when you see your limitations. You stress when you see your weaknesses. But could it be that's exactly where God wants you? He wants you to feel your weaknesses. He chose Abraham, who, like Elizabeth, was weak. Chose Moses, who was no public speaker. Chose Jonah, who was reluctant at best. He worked through Timothy, who many thought was too young. Peace comes from seeing your limitations as a chance for God's power to shine. Your limitations are a chance for God's power to shine. Your own soul will applaud when your weakness becomes the stage for God's strength. It's a pathway to peace. We're talking about missions this week, and David Bernard was a missionary. He's a missionary to the Napi people in the 1700s, also to the Mohican people. And he was a guy, a missionary, who was plagued with a lot of things. He had tuberculosis, which means when he coughed, blood came up. It was crippling to him. He also suffered from bouts of depression on and off and on and off. He lived in the open forest, freezing rains. He was lonely. In his diary, he would write things like, I'm so weary of life, so weak I could scarcely whisper. And yet, the greatest movement that he ever saw of God in his life was at his weakest moment. He felt utterly useless one day when he got up to preach to this tribe of Native Americans that didn't know Jesus. And he said, I almost didn't do it, but I decided to just stand there and open my mouth anyway. And really slowly, simply, with almost no energy, he proclaimed Christ. And as he spoke, the Spirit fell. People began confessing their sins that weren't Christians. People begin to call out saying, God, have mercy on us. And David Bernard just looking around. This doesn't happen much. I thought I was too weak for this. Later he would write, God seemed to do all the work himself. I just stood and I wondered what was happening. The tragedy with David Bernard that we want to avoid is when he died young. He died at 29. But he was convinced that this type of thing didn't happen enough in his life. He was convinced that he was too small. But his weakness became the very spark that ignited generations of missionaries. William Carey cited Brainerd's story. David Livingston cited Brainerd's story. Jim and Elizabeth Elliot, they looked back and they were inspired by David Brainerd. God's power is not going to wait for your strength. That doesn't make any sense at all. He's going to work through your weakness. God can use you even when you don't feel it, and that is a pathway to peace. This Advent shows that nothing is impossible with God. Even possible to face the brokenness of your own life because of who Jesus is. He can give you peace as we turn to him. This Christmas season, let's rest in God's power to keep you. Let's pray together. God, we do pray. We're all merry. Surprised that you're willing to come to us, though we are weak. Life seems to be crashing up against rocks, chaotic, messy, tumultuous, and yet you came to us in Christ. You brought the Prince of Peace. You bridged the gap between man and God. And you offer peace to us here today. Help us to turn to you. Help us to remember your favor towards us, your smile on your people. And let us rejoice in the peace given by Christ today. In his name we pray, amen.